see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers now playing only in theaters. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Hey, Fidelity. How can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
When Dean was having the conversation with him upstairs before he went and spoke to Claire, I was also there. I showed up a little late.
Michael's actually present at every scene that we've seen so far.
I was CGI'd out of the... They had me wear... I don't know why. I was in a green bodysuit the entire time.
Yeah, he was standing in the corner when, like, Stassi and Luke were making out. Just like...
You weren't supposed to tell anybody about that, Claire.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor-adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon. Welcome to a special, a very Olympic edition of Here to Make Friends. We're here to talk about Bachelor Winter Games.
Week one,
ABC's brilliant counter programming to the Olympic Games in Pyeongchang. So I hope I said that right. And we are going to get into recapping this week's episode.
Two episodes.
Episodes. 4 hours of television. And we are joined to do that by someone who has probably better insight than just about anyone. Michael Garofola, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you. Thank you, Claire. Thank you, Emma. I will say, the only reason I did Bachelor Winter Games was so I can come on the Here to Make Friends podcast. And I'm not sure if that's a right reason, but
it's definitely the right reason.
Yeah.
For us, you know, we think it's the right reason.
If that's wrong, I don't want to be right.
But we do want to start first with a message about something else that happened this week.
Obviously, there was a school shooting in Parkland, Florida, and we just wanted to say that our hearts are with that community and anyone who has been touched by gun violence. And we just want to acknowledge that, you know, a lot of other things are happening in the world while we are diving into the lighter side of television with The Bachelor Winter Games. So, you know. Call your reps, guys.
Yeah. And on that really somber note, I think we should start by talking a little bit about the most serious aspect of the Bachelor Winter Games, which is that it actually was caught up in the Trump administration's weird politics. We've learned that...
A Hollywood Reporter article went up on February 12th. In which they talked to co-showrunner Bennett Grabner, and he talked about the difficulties of casting this show when it's so much harder to get visas for people now, which is a really interesting way that, you know, this sort of very removed world of reality television intersects with the real, real world.
Yeah. And I get, like, when Jordan from New Zealand showed up, he was late, and he said, oh, I hear there's been a travel ban on or something. I was like, yep, that's
yeah, you know, New
that's
Zealand.
America.
New Zealand, got to keep those New Zealanders out.
Those Kiwis.
Or German men of Persian descent, apparently.
Right.
There was a man whose visa was firmly denied on that basis. So,
well, Christian also had issues getting into the country.
But he's white, so that eventually worked out.
He's very white with blue eyes, so yeah.
I think that if they showed Trump a picture of Christian, he would be like, no, let him in.
I mean, his name is Christian.
Christian.
So it just checks all those Aryan boxes.
Yeah, so the show ended up, I think the cast wasn't quite as diverse as one might have hoped.
Yeah.
Since it was an international edition.
I agree.
But
it seems like part of that.
It was definitely a pervasive topic in the house that obviously it's not being shown. And I was wondering, you know, we were all wondering aloud while we were discussing these things, because obviously you have to understand, like, when this show is filming, you have mostly the big story is all the Roy Moore stuff is going on. Also had that was when Trump basically tweeted to, you know, admitting to obstructing justice, and his lawyer gets in and says, no, I drafted that tweet. And, like, that was all during this time. But really the Roy Moore, you know, more and more women coming forward, and then Trump actually, you know, firmly endorses him after the fact. Shocker. And so these things are all being discussed, and we were sort of like, they're going to cut all this out. But then, you know, producers were saying, you know, well, you know, Mike Fleiss obviously is not shy about his views about Trump. He is not a fan. And, you know, I think he does actually want some of this in. It's relevant. It's you know, topical.
I would like to see that.
I mean, it's interesting because they did drop in the travel ban thing, and they've clearly been talking about it, which is a little bit of a critique of the administration, but it's so, like, toothless compared to, like, actually showing the cast.
Oh, we were at one point sitting around the island in the kitchen, you know, there was, like, a big talk with everyone, and basically they, you know, denoted me to be the speaker on behalf of apologizing for the United States and explaining, you know, what was going on. Like, I really feel like, you know, and I jokingly tweeted this last night, you know, I feel like my role there was to improve, you know, United States diplomatic relations with our foreign allies. And I think, you know, that was part of it.
Yeah.
And we were saying, you know, like, New Zealand is not sending us its best. I mean, that's what I was saying.
I mean, Jordan. Clearly they're sending us a coin flipper.
A coin flipper. Oh, God.
It was funny.
I mean, was there anyone in the House who you felt was a Trump sympathizer? Was anyone during these conversations like, I don't know this?
He might have a lot of good points. Roy Moore seems like a good guy.
No one did. I mean, obviously, there were folks who are silent when it comes to politics and don't want to be shown, I think, intentionally, don't want to be shown on camera taking any views. But I think to a man, everyone thinks that Trump is despicable. Even I think there are definitely Republicans in the House, you know, from the United States.
Well, we know Ben Higgins.
Ben is a Republican, yes, but
aspiring future president Ben Higgins.
I would vote for him. He might be my only Republican vote I would ever cast. Would be for Ben Higgins.
He's very diplomatic.
He's playing the really long game. He's like, I'm going to get all of the, like, feminists in the country to love me by being a nice guy on The Bachelor, and then they'll have to vote for me.
Yeah. I was like, you know, you just don't go the, you know, Republican politician from Indiana, don't go the Mike Pence route. That's my only advice to him.
I gotta say, not a ton of great Republican politicians from Indiana, in my experience.
Or in the world.
Yeah.
Right now. So
it's not a great moment.
Yeah. The party
I mean,
is.
Even Democrats from Indiana tend to be pretty conservative.
Yeah.
Which was, But
yeah.
Enough about my wonderful home state.
It is heartening to me to know that those conversations were being had, and I wish we had gotten to see them. I do enjoy when the current moment sneaks into the show a little bit, but I think it is fascinating at least that the producers and showrunners are talking about the way that this moment has impacted, you know, an internationally cast show.
Yeah. Also, I don't know if you saw, I mean, I posted a picture on my Instagram. The art department actually took one of the oranges while I was having this conversation. I was ranting about Trump, and they wanted it to be a little bit comical. So what they were doing is they were having these people, like, as I was, they were asking, it started out as like a normal, nice conversation. So I was like, Michael, you know, tell us what's going on with, you know, the United States. Like, how could, like, Jordan, I think, from New Zealand said it. And I was like, well, you know, you have this, that, and the other thing. I was like, but now he's doing this, now he's doing, and someone would chime in. And then all of a sudden it just, like, people stopped chiming in, and I just kept going and, like, you know, getting more and more upset and excited and be like, and then he's, you know, he doesn't want to take down Confederate monuments. And he's, you know, he's yelling at people for kneeling during the national anthem, but he's supporting the hanging of the Confederate flag. Like, who's really,
so this was,
you know,
just like a real release for you.
It was a real release. It was very therapeutic. And I grabbed this orange and I was like, and he looks like this, you know, and I, like, slammed it on the ground. And the art department then took one of the oranges, actually, like, a clementine, to be honest. It was a small, you know, small orange. And drew a Trump face on the orange, and it was there the entire time, this orange with Trump's face on it. And there's a picture on Instagram I have of me holding this Trump orange.
I need to see this.
Yeah, here it is.
They really skillfully edited around all of this. Yeah, you guys need to go
look on Michael's Instagram. It's a great photo.
I swear that was not a way just to publicize my Instagram.
Yeah. And also follow him.
No, don't follow him.
He needs to shill some.
Don't reward this behavior.
Sugar bear hair. shameless.
So yes.
Okay, so let's get into the show a little bit. Claire, what were your initial feelings? I know that, you know, you were not thrilled, and neither was I, to have to commit so many hours a week. But now that you've done it, did you enjoy it?
I have to say I was so full of resentment both nights that I was missing figure skating. And, like, I can DVR it and watch it later, but it really just isn't the same.
No, we missed the quad lutz.
Yeah. And then Nathan Chen really fell to pieces, and it was a rough night for me last night. But the point is, it was fun TV. You know, I wish that it had been more spaced out. Maybe I didn't have to spend 4 hours this week on it, but they made it entertaining.
I love it. I like it. It's like it feels a little fresh and different. And
I feel like we saw some actual conversations between couples that felt like there was an alive spark between them, and not just let's talk about our relationship. There was like banter and sharing feelings.
And you could tell that people were actually having a good time hanging out with each other, which was nice.
Yeah.
And, you know, a little new faces injected into the Bachelor franchise. And also a critical mass of people over the age of 30.
Yeah, women over 30 or at or over 30 were really, really killing
it
so far.
Really warmed my heart.
Yeah. But I know that you have a slightly different perspective because you were present. Are you disappointed with the final product?
I'm not wholly disappointed with the final product. I am, you know, unlike people who come on and say, oh, the edit, this, the edit, that, I'm just a little surprised with some of the choices. Like, I'm not sure we needed to spend 45 minutes on Jacuzzi Gate for a four-episode.
I don't think it was enough.
I'm still confused. 2 hours.
I think more time is spent on Jacuzzi Gate than Special Counsel Robert Mueller has spent on Russia. So we're going to get to the bottom. We're going to get to the bottom of that.
Jacuzzi.
Yeah. The more important thing to get to the bottom
there's
of,
gonna
of course.
There's going to be a Claire memo. There's going to be a Claire memo and a Christian memo, and hopefully both will be released soon.
Here's hoping.
I only want to see Claire's memo.
But, yeah, no, I mean, there were a lot of – look, I get it. It's a four-show arc, right, four-episode arc. They need – in order to legitimize some of these relationships, they need to really drag them out and show every second of every conversation. But at the same time, I mean, you know, viewers also would like to see some of us, you know, hanging out and having fun. I know viewers don't want to just see a group of 20, 30-somethings at a ski house getting drunk. But at the same time, like – there was a huge snowball fight. I took a snowball, I brought it in. I think I hit, you know, Ben or Dean in the, you know, head with the snowball. And then all of a sudden we all pour outside and we start wailing each other with snowballs. And it was a lot of fun. And
did anyone start making out, though?
No one made out.
Oh, see, that was the problem.
And then there were, you know, a night where we all went in the hot tub. But in order, like, sort of the initiation to go into the hot tub was everyone had to do a snow angel in their bathing suits, you know, in the snow. And it was, I mean, it was fun. It was funny. And it was like, you know, it's people from the U.S., people from, you know, Yuki's there. It's people from Australia and, you know, Sweden and Finland. I mean, it was a nice, I don't know, like a kumbaya, like fun kind of a moment.
We did see a little bit of Cards Against Humanity, which I appreciated.
Yes, while Jacuzzi Gate was going on, I was firmly entrenched in a Cards Against Humanity game. So,
and we should probably before too much of
go
this podcast
has
passed, and the structure of the show.
Oh, yes.
Do we have the cast written down?
I will get.
I do have a lot of notes.
I can rattle them off if you need me to. I was there.
Well, but let's go through the structure. So they all show up to this ski resort in Vermont.
Yes, the Hermitage Club, which is a very fancy, like, members-only.
That has become very clear.
Yeah,
it has been highly touted by this.
It is very, very fancy. Like, basically all the wealthy hedge fund dudes from New York, you know, belong and drive up there.
Wow.
Dudes and ladies drive up there on the weekends. And
there go my dreams
their,
of renting the place out
thing.
For a week. Yeah, so you had the opening ceremonies.
Yes.
And then basically everyone's living together in the house.
The Bachelor Anthem. Don't forget the Bachelor Anthem.
Oh, God.
How could we? Your face was my favorite.
I wished it were more zoomed in so it would be a good reaction. Like, everyone looked skeptical, but Michael's face in particular.
And it was slowed down when they panned over you, so you could just see your eyes widening.
This is a thing. I was really did not know. And at first, I mean, some people were, like, putting their hands over their hearts, and it's kind of like, maybe we don't need to do that.
I think people just knee-jerk when the anthem starts. Yeah. I would have loved to see someone kneel.
It looked like some people knew the words to that song more than Donald Trump knows the words to our own national anthem.
I mean, to be fair, the words to our national anthem are pretty, like, complicated.
Yeah.
And the words to this one appeared to be bachelor, oh bachelor, oh bachelor.
Sweet bachelor.
Sweet bachelor. Oh bachelor.
Bachelor.
Let's see it through to the end. Yeah.
But I just want to say that was a high school student, a local high school
student
who wrote the song herself.
Oh, God.
It was not,
why didn't they tell us that?
It was not given to her. She wrote the song herself and sang
it. They should have said that.
Yeah.
Because or else it just...
Yes.
Really,
that really puts it in context.
So this is another thing that gets cut. Yeah. Chris Harrison introduced her and gave that introduction about how she is a student, wrote the song, and is, you know, and sang the song.
Oh, that's
so
cute.
It was
okay.
Very cute.
Okay, now I feel bad.
Well, but if the Bachelor production wrote it and then, like, made a girl sing it, I would have felt really weird about it.
Yeah.
But it makes a lot more sense as an organic product.
No,
of
I mean, I think her mission was to write something cheesy and funny because it's so cheesy. Yeah.
It succeeded.
Okay. Yeah. Well, now that we've got that in context, I feel a little bit better. So the other part of the show is obviously the challenges. You're in this house, and then you compete in various Winter Olympic sports.
The women compete against the women.
Men against the men.
And the woman and the man who win their events, by whatever rules are laid out.
Get a date card each.
And
or whatever rules are later edited into what you're seeing on TV.
Yeah.
Oh,
it was very...
Okay, well, we'll get into that, I guess.
So the first event is biathlon, which is winter biathlon is cross country skiing and marksmanship. And then the second event is short track speed skating. A couple good events.
In
I
figure
thought.
Skates. Yeah.
Yeah. They appeared to be hockey skates to me.
No, it had. Yeah. Some people had hockey skates. Some people had figure skates.
Oh, good.
Skates.
So they were just like, really consistent about
look,
it.
Look, I mean, it was a local ice skating rink, like
whatever
they had.
You got.
Like if you need a size, I needed a size 14, like whatever we have in a 14. Basically, you know, they took two cardboard boxes and put like butter knives, you know, taped butter knives to the bottoms of them. And that's what I wore.
That's shocking. I looked at my husband like halfway through and I was like, I can't believe they did this whole event and they didn't get them real speed skating skates. Like,
yeah.
This is how are you
I
supposed
know.
To speed skate in hockey
I know.
Skates?
Apollo Anton Ono is going to be very upset when he watches that.
Yeah. So one of the weird things that happens basically, so like the first event is the fastest people get into the, from the heats.
Yeah.
Then compete in the final. Obviously like, someone from like Finland.
I guess they didn't want the Canadians to win every single.
Right, because
event.
Then what
from
ends
Sweden,
up happening?
Yeah, Rebecca from Sweden.
Yeah, Rebecca.
Yeah.
And then they and ended Kevin. Up having to adjust that. So for speed skating, it ended up being the final was only the losers of their heats, which also I think they just wanted it to be
it's
more
kind
amazing.
Of entertaining. It's
to see people struggling.
A number of things. Like, let me tell you some things that, you know, are not shown. First of all, when I was asked to do this show, I said, look, it has been a while since I've gone skiing. It's been a while since I've gone ice skating. They said, Michael G., don't worry. Like, we don't want to get sued by the Olympics. We're not going to do real winter sports. We can't do that. We're going to do, like, snowball fights and... Who can build a snowman the fastest?
And then they actually talked to a lawyer who was like, the Olympics don't own speed skating.
Good news! They're like, you know...
they're like, now we get to
humiliate
them.
No, but they do own, so we weren't allowed to say gold medal. You know, that's why it's gold day card.
They do own a lot of stuff.
There are a number of phrases that, you know, you'd be surprised that they actually do own.
I mean, working in media, we are aware there's a lot of stuff we're not allowed to do when we're covering the Olympics.
Right. So, so they tell us that. Then, of course, lo and behold, it's actually real... real winter sports, including wait till you see the ski event. I mean, it's basically like we show up and they're like, hey, there's a blue hill. Like, you know, it's like you don't even start off on the greens or the bunnies. It's like there's a blue hill with gates. Like, let's go to the top and time to go. Fastest down wins.
Oh, my God.
You know, so, you know, as you see from the previews, like hilarity ensues. Thankfully, no broken bones.
Skiing is really
scary. Spoiler alert, no one dies.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of shocked no one got seriously
injured. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there are people there to make sure that the people who weren't good skiers aren't allowed to do certain things. but then the biathlon, it was that the track was ice. I mean, it was like a sheet of ice. Like,
really?
Even the
That's
guy.
That's why everyone was sleeping.
Like, Dean is a great skier. He's from Colorado. Like, even he was like, even he fell on his ass. You know what I mean? There, it was like almost query whether or not they watered it down like they do the Bachelor Mansion driveway before the start of that
glisten.
Show. It was like ice, and you're on cross country skis, and it was there were.
Well,
we saw
Allie like hurt her her bum.
Her bum bone.
Yeah. Before she even started.
I'm not like
Josiah's
a big skier, but I have been on skis, and it's not that easy to just slip and fall over. Like, when you're on snow and skis, it's not like they're constantly like banana peeling out from under you. So that was surprising.
Yeah.
Not anymore. Now it all makes sense.
It was ice. It was a sheet of ice. Okay. So I'm
sorry.
Continue.
No. That's really interesting. So
should we go through the cast?
Let's go through the cast.
Yeah. Okay. So who do we have on the ladies' side? Zoe from China.
I loved her hair.
She was so cute.
She had great bright orange, like bob haircut. So cute.
Yuki, who has quickly become a star.
Yes.
The show from Japan. And she's also the youngest one there, I think.
She and Lily are both 21 years old.
21. So babies.
Yeah.
Doesn't speak much English.
She seems to be picking it up.
Really
she
pick it up
really
quickly.
So the running joke in the house was that she speaks perfect English, and this is all an act. And when she goes into these interviews, she's like, Ben and Michael, I mean, like, they think I don't know what they're saying. I mean, these guys are idiots. Like, what jackasses? Like, you know, that she speaks perfect English, probably, and she's putting on this persona.
It was kind of amazing, to see how she managed to interact with everyone pretty...
Yeah, she was great.
Pretty well.
She was great.
And she seems beloved among the cast. That's the sense I'm getting.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, she's, like, always just cheery and happy and funny and, like, you know, I mean... You know, it does border on, like, you know, part of it's like, oh, are we laughing with her? Are we laughing because, you know, she has this cute accent and she doesn't really understand what she's saying? And, you know, you don't want her to become like a mascot in the house.
Yeah.
You know, you want her to be have fun. And you know, and so, I think in the beginning, especially her age and the language barriers, I was a little concerned for her well-being. But
there was like an awkward moment when Chris Harrison was interviewing her, I think, at the first event. And it felt a little bit like she's not responding to the right questions we're asking. Isn't this funny? And I was like, oh, I hope this isn't going to be the thing.
And then we got a little bit more real interaction from her, which I thought was
I think she knows English much better than she lets on. But she
she understands English. I think she speaks I mean, that's how it often works with languages. You can often understand a lot more than you feel comfortable speaking.
And and it seems like she's at the point, like, where the pronunciation that or, like, not quite clear enunciation can throw her off easily from what she's hearing, which as someone who, even at my best years of speaking French, like, could often not understand what actual French speakers were saying. That sort of seemed a little bit like, I feel like she understands a lot of English, but
I really enjoyed the end of the second episode where we got to see her making her sweet omelet and, like, really bringing Luke into it. He was very skeptical, and then he's like, oh, no. Nice job, Yuki.
Yeah, she had a lot of those. She had a lot of those things. She also, like, just milk with sugar. Like, she would milk with sugar. I had a scene I was hoping would make it one of the after scenes of we're walking around the house and like, you know, we're like, she wanted to practice her English and we're pointing at things and like saying what they are and she's asking me what they are and saying them and then we're like kind of like high-fiving and stuff and going back. It was really cute, you know, in a very like, you know, older brother, younger sister or like father-daughter sort of way, you could say.
You would have been such a young dad.
And then like we just like plop on the, like we're running around the house literally like pointing out things like, yeah, lamp, yeah, I love lamp and like high-fiving and then like we kind of like sit on the couch at the end and we're like, I'm tired. And she's like, water, water. And we like, years and drink water. And, you know, I don't see that making it in. But she was awesome, and we loved her. And I don't want to spoil anything, but when there comes a certain time when certain people go home and Yuki's one of them, and, you know, and we get to see her again, and a few of us spent some time with her at the back of the hotel where they bring us, and had like a really nice moment together. And yeah, she gave me I don't smoke cigarettes, but she gave me cigarettes from Japan, which are like these crazy looking, like they're called like Option Purple or something.
Wow.
And yeah.
Everything's more aesthetically pleasing in Japan.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. She's great.
Yeah, it's been, I really have been enjoying her. Then we have Tiffany from Australia, who was in even the US news because she's one of the two women that fell in love with each other on a season of The Bachelor.
Apparently that did not work out.
No, it sounds like they dated for like a bit under a year, but were in a relationship for a while, and then
and now here she
is. And now here she is. We did not get a lot of her during these two episodes.
We'll get into her,
but we'll
role.
Get into it. Then we have Rebecca from Sweden.
She won
the first challenge.
Yeah, she could win a real Olympic event. Like, she could represent Sweden.
She's really good.
She is, like, I think she's also like a snowboard or ski instructor. I mean, she's really, really good. So is Lily, actually. Believe it or not, Lily from New Zealand is a snowboard instructor.
Oh. But there was no snowboarding. I feel like
there was no snowboarding.
They were probably
or is there yet? I mean, who knows?
Maybe we'll see.
I've heard
maybe.
That there isn't.
Okay. All right, there isn't. But there is skiing.
Mess with me.
Then Stassi.
From Sweden.
Mm-hmm. Did they say she was Russian-born and then moved to Sweden? Yeah. And then, yeah, Lily from New Zealand. She seems delightful.
She is. She's hilarious.
Yeah. We've seen very little of her.
But I enjoy her. Laura from the UK. We got very little of her. She went home episode one.
One of many women with just long blonde hair and about the same height and build.
At least one to go home. Jenny from Finland, and I guess she was the runner-up on her season of The Bachelor Finland.
She was really pretty.
She's beautiful, but hardly got any words from her, even though she was on for two episodes.
I'll tell you guys, whenever you guys want, there was something I was sort of, like, talking to Jenny. Nothing really developed there. I think she spoke English very well, but she was very sort of insecure and self-conscious about her ability to speak English. And yeah. I think unreasonably so. You know, I mean, I mean, it makes sense. It's fair. But I'm just saying, I was trying to like sort of, hey, you know, you actually speak really good English, and I think you're being hard on yourself. And I think she had, you know, I don't know. She did a season, like you said, she was the runner-up. But I think she just had trouble with, like, there are always cameras around. I'm not sure who's being real and who's being fake in front of cameras. And it's like, well, this is going to be a hard environment for you because, you know, there are always, like, even when there's not a cameraman, there are now, you know, there are these incredibly, you know, high-resolution cameras that are always just stationed around, like always watching. And so, you know, there's always going to be a camera. I mean, and, you know, it's almost seamless. Like you can tell, but it's almost harder to tell, like, when there's a camera, you know, that was taken from, you know, the spy cam, so to speak, and when it's taken from the, you know, actually cameramen. But anyway, yeah, she had some difficulty with that. And I think ultimately, like, for me, I was just like, look, if I'm going to date someone long distance from Helsinki, like I need, you know, to like, that has to be like the wow. Like I've never found this kind of feeling before. And
although Helsinki is beautiful.
It is beautiful. And I would love to visit. And Jenny is lovely. But, you know, I think we were trying, and then it just started that whole story arc was just completely cut.
They were like, not
because it didn't happen. There was no making out. There was no anything.
Yeah, see, and if you just had some making out,
I know.
You're not playing this correctly.
I know. I just less is more for me right now. Anyway, carry on.
No, that's sorry, that's good to know because she's very. She seemed really. Like,
and then
beautiful
she was barely on. I mean, you think I got nowhere? I mean, she hardly got anything. So I mean, I think. That whole all that footage of she and I of speaking and everything else
fell by the wayside.
We should try to get through the cast though, because we also have to talk about all the love triangles.
Yeah, Ali from New Zealand as well. Kevin, a real star of the show from Canada.
He was engaged to the Canadian bachelorette, yes, Jasmine.
Very recently.
Yeah.
Courtney from Australia. I think he's very cute.
Yeah.
And, oh, Benoit, also from Canada, from French Canada, Quebecois.
Montreal, yeah.
And Leslie, back on our TV screens. Of course, we had her on the podcast last week. She's fantastic. Claire, who we all know, from Bachelor in Paradise, and of course, runner-up on Juan Pablo's season. Ashley I, needs no introduction. Michael, who is right here in front of us.
Needs a very long
introduction.
Which we've had.
Luke from JoJo's season, of course, almost The Bachelor.
Yeah.
Josiah, who I was so happy to see back on my TV. I really like him from Rachel's season.
Lauren G
from the most recent season,
yeah,
who we hardly saw. Jamie, also from Rachel's season, did not speak a word. Eric, also not enough time with him, obviously from Rachel's season. Dean, trying to leave his fuckboy ways from paradise in the past. Ben Higgins, world's best bachelor. Mm. And I think that's – oh, and then Jordan.
Did we mention Ashley I?
Yes.
Need to mention her twice.
Claire is already exhausted by Ashley.
There is so much Ashley in this season. Okay.
I don't think it's going away. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back with a whole lot more behind-the-scenes insight from Michael. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Lately, my social battery has actually been full to bursting. I feel like I've barely been able to see anyone all winter, especially with little kids at home and constant daycare bugs. And I'm just like dying to get out there and see some people. And, you know, it's actually been kind of hard at times over the winter to feel like I'm just desperate to see friends and I don't have time to do it.
I feel like we're constantly trying to regulate, like, what's the correct amount of social energy? What kind of space do we need to carve out to actually give ourselves the space to socialize? What space do we need to carve out to give ourselves time to actually recharge? Either way, therapy can give you some self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or store it up a little too much.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit betterhelp.com/lovetoseeit today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lovetoseeit. Okay, so you got engaged. Congrats. Now you may be wondering what comes next.
If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola.
With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake.
Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually even enjoyable.
There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or, you know, from your couch, which is certainly how, if I was planning a wedding, I would definitely want to do it as loungily as possible.
So important.
I also just know myself. I know that planning any kind of event, like even a birthday party, can get very stressful. And so it's been really cool to see friends use Zola. It really seems to make everything a lot less stressful. And as a frequent wedding attender, I love to be able to hop on that Zola registry and just purchase a gift. Easy peasy. I know I've done it. I won't forget. Thank you, Zola.
Yeah, everything's all in the same place. It's perfect. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals.
Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
And you can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week.
Eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Just heat and savor the good stuff.
Plus, you can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need.
and you can pause or reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
They're celebrating Earth Day all month long at Factor. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals.
Especially since I've been back from my travels, I've gotten really out of practice with my normal meal prep. And so Factor has been really helping me kind of bridge that gap, know that I have healthy, whole meals in my fridge ready to eat when I need them.
Head to factormeals.com/LTSI50 and use code LTSI50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month.
That's code LTSI50 at factormeals.com/LTSI50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. If you have a cat, you want your cat to be healthy and happy because, of course, that makes you happy.
But since, you know, people aren't mind readers, we don't always know when our cats are unwell.
So helping us keep tabs on our cat's health is just one reason you should use Pretty Litter.
Pretty Litter's ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly. No more cat bathroom smell.
Pretty Litter's super light crystal base also minimizes mess and dust.
Here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It actually changes color to help monitor early signs of potential illness in your cats, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues.
Plus, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door in a small, lightweight bag.
Our producer, Talon, has started using Pretty Litter for his cats, and he is a huge fan already. He's found that, like, the crystals really do soak up that odor, and cleaning the litter box is easier than it's ever been because it doesn't get all, like, weird and clumpy inside, which I remember so well from cleaning my cat's litter box.
Pretty Litter helps keep tabs on your cat's health and keep odors down.
You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do.
Go to prettylitter.com/LTSI and use code LTSI to save 20% on your first order.
That's prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI to save 20%.
prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI.
Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have, like, kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like, maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI.
Should we get into the couples?
Yeah. Right away, Kevin is a hot commodity. I feel like there's something about Kevin that I'm kind of missing, like the appeal of
He's not my type personally, but it seems like he has this, like, macho persona and look, a little bit of a, as we said, James Marsden thing, which Ashley commented on, but then also seems quite good at communicating and quite sensitive. And I feel like that is appealing.
Yeah, no, it's funny because, like, that, like, my Greg used to play hockey, and, like, when we were dating, he would play in a pickup league, and, like, I always thought it was so cute when he was in his hockey gear and, like, doing that thing. He's also very sensitive. In theory, this is exactly my type, but there's something about Kevin that I'm just, like, he just seems a little not all there to me, which is, like, totally not fair. It's just my initial reaction. But because he was so popular, and I was like,
why?
I don't know. But so Bibiana hits it off with him right away. And Ashley is on, like, lurking. She's like, I want Kevin. I'm going to make this happen. It's not totally clear how it does happen, but Kevin suddenly is just like, I'm going to say goodbye to Bibiana. Now I'm going to be with Ashley. And then that's what happens.
So I think, okay, so a number of things. I can sort of try to fill in the gaps here. Number one, Kevin is a wonderful, wonderful guy.
And I can
tell you, like, he is a, you know, look, I mean, he's a good-looking dude. He's in incredible shape. He's an incredible athlete. And yet he is so down-to-earth, so relatable, so nice. Like, I mean, there are plenty of
Canadians,
dudes,
man.
There are plenty of dudes who, if I looked like Kevin, I mean, I would be a complete jerk, you know? I mean, like, he is, like, you know, for—
You're not Canadian.
I'm not Canadian, and I don't look like Kevin, so I'm not. I'm just half-jerk. You know, I think, you know, there's that. I think he went on that date with Bibiana. I think that, to me, that came out of nowhere. I was like, oh, I didn't even know, like, you were into her. But she seemed to be, like, by far and away his top pick when he won the biathlon event. They went on a date. I think it was fine. I think they had fun. But I think he came back feeling like, you know what, I'm just not really feeling it. I think Ashley, obviously, now we're seeing she was, you know, always kind of vying for him, and I got some of that from some of my conversations with her while I was there, but I didn't know it was to that extent, or maybe just the way the show is really focusing on that. Of course,
they needed to get some Ashley tears somehow.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think, you know, you're going to see a lot more of Ashley and Kevin now going forward, but
I just have to say I'm incredibly relieved that the love triangle between those three wasn't actually dramatic the way that it was teased in promos.
And now we didn't even see his breakup with Bibiana.
No, they didn't even show it. He was like, yeah, we had a conversation. We're good.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah, because I think it was really that sort of transactional.
Casual. Yeah. That they were both like, just like, yeah,
hey,
we're.
I had fun, but I don't think, you know, oh, yeah, I mean, it's cool. Bye. All right,
yeah.
Let's shake on it.
Yeah, they all seem to be friendly now. So
yeah,
I was nervous because that's when it's hard for me to watch Ashley on screen, is when she takes the role of, like, aggressor against another woman. And so I'm really,
why does
really
he like her?
Like,
he should
Kayla
like me.
And Jared.
I could not have that
then
again.
It becomes, then it sort of, like, takes over the entire show. Is
and
like
Bachelor Nation is so, like, partial to Ashley that, like, it ends up being sort of like a gang up on the other woman by everyone. And I'm like, just because she has what Ashley wants doesn't mean that, like, we should do this.
Yeah.
But
although Bibiana
is
very, very popular and everyone loves
her. Yes, I realized I forgot to say Bibiana. We were going through the cast, but Bibiana, everyone knows who Bibiana is. We love
from
her.
From Miami, yeah.
And then she ends up quickly making a connection herself with Jordan, the coin flipper. How was she not troubled by his coin flipping reputation?
I don't know. I haven't asked her that question, that pointed question. That's a good one. When you have her on, you should ask her that.
One day.
I will facilitate that if you'd like.
Yes.
Jordan's not a bad guy. I think honestly, he actually knew which direction he was going in. I don't think he was into either girl. I think he kind of knew already. And then was just kind of like, let me flip a coin.
Rather than just not picking anyone.
Yeah, I mean, query whether or not, like, he actually, look, you could say, I could say, look, I'm going to choose between Claire and Emma. And if I really love Emma, I could flip a coin and then look at it and say, oh, yeah, it's tails. It's Emma. You know, I mean, like, you could do something like that.
It just sounds like he wasn't into either of his final two. And he gave the show the ending they wanted rather than just being like, I'm not feeling it.
Yeah. And I think, look, they didn't last very long and they broke up soon thereafter. I mean, I don't think it was like a charade, you know, as much as it sounds like. I don't know.
Yeah.
I give him the benefit of the doubt.
I can imagine if I were her, I would be pretty upset with him.
Yeah. No, there's no question
about
that.
The way that he was like, she kind of painted me out to be a villain. And I was like, well, you kind of did a dickish thing to her. So I'm sure you kind of seemed that way to her.
I think it was more tongue-in-cheek.
Story.
I think it was more tongue-in-cheek. I think, it just didn't. It didn't play well. And they got the footage they wanted of it, and then they, you know, went from there.
Claire and I were chatting last night. He gives us some, like, douche vibes. But
like,
also, I
vibes.
Found him attractive. I was like, I get it.
Also, like, the one clip we saw of him flirting with Bibiana was him correcting her pronunciation. And she was like, oh, thank you. And I was like, that's not how it would have gone down with me. I'd be like, don't you fucking correct my pronunciation of crepes. I will say it like that if I want to. And I'm the one who's married, guys. I don't know what's going on in the world. All right. So, Leslie and Dean,
I love this. I love this pairing.
They're so sweet together.
And she, this is exactly what Dean needs. Someone who's like, look, you pull whatever crap you're going to pull, but you're not going to pull it with me. And this is what I need. And here's the choice. Take it or leave it. And I loved it. And I think, I don't know, they had some really genuine feeling conversations that we got to see. You got a sense of who they both were as people. You got a sense of their relationship in a pretty short amount of screen time. And I'm such a huge fan.
Yeah. I mean, apparently Leslie was able to do that because Leslie had other options in the house.
Yeah, Michael. Who were her other options?
Michael's blushing.
I love Leslie and Dean together. Number one, I just want to say that, and I love
for the record.
Leslie and Dean, both of them individually as well. But look, I've known Leslie for a while. She was on the season before mine of The Bachelor. She was on Sean Lowe's season. I was on the following season on Desiree's season. And when I'm not shy about this. When I was asked, who would you like to be your bachelorette? I said Leslie Murphy. I mean, she has been, of all of the women in Bachelor Nation, I'd say like my top two women would be Leslie and of course, Charlene, who's a good friend of mine.
That was going to be my other guest.
A good dear friend of mine. But Leslie by far. And so when she showed up and I was like, I thought she was in this long, serious relationship. And I know she's always traveling, but I was like, oh, wow. Like this is, I was feeling really hopeful. And she and I had a couple of like really great conversations. And I thought, and then, she hit it off with Dean. There was this undeniable chemistry there. And I was thankful actually that I noticed the chemistry so I didn't continue down that path when it was clear that she was into this other guy, because I didn't want to be there competing in that sense. And it makes sense. Dean is the best looking, coolest dude in the place by far. It's fine. But yeah, I mean, Leslie and I had a number of great conversations. And I think, with the age thing and everything else and where I am in my career and being established and settled, I think those are things that were appealing to her. But Dean's another direction. I mean,
yes.
He's coming off of back-to-back-to-back seasons of the franchise, different, spinoffs of the show. And so he's just in a different place. But he's, his lifestyle is flexible. She travels a lot. And so it looks like it's working. And I think as people, I love them both. I mean, Dean is 11 years younger than I am. So, but I really hit it all. He's a lot brighter than people give him credit for. He's a sincerely nice guy, funny guy. Look at him.
Yeah. I'm kind of surprised that they didn't play up even a little bit of that tension.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, there was a conversation that Leslie and I had the first night of the first rose ceremony, and Dean interrupted the conversation to steal, her away.
Wow.
And I'm surprised. Not, I mean, and of course it wasn't.
It wasn't dramatic,
it
but
was
I,
not,
I, I'm.
There was no animus. There wasn't. Actually,
I'm surprised they didn't.
Michael
actually,
is calling Dean out.
Get over here, Dean.
If you
headlines.
Dare.
Actually, Leslie, to her credit, was like, actually, Dean, can I have, I'm not done talking to Michael. Can I have 5 more minutes?
And she really puts him in
he
place.
Like,
and that's
stood
why,
over
that's
there
why he's
and,
into it. He's yeah. like, oh, this, yeah. this woman
like, oh.
isn't going to give in to my
like,
bullshit.
That. Yeah. That was, which was really nice. We had a great conversation. I mean, obviously a conversation about, about breast cancer and just life and her last relationship and what she's looking for, and what I'm looking for, and all those great things. And unfortunately, that is on the cutting room floor.
The world will never
know. But at
know.
Least we get to hear about it, and our listeners get to hear about it. Yeah. I also, Leslie had one of my favorite lines where she and Dean are on a date, and she just says to him, I'm 30 and I know exactly what I want. And it was such a good moment. And I'm like, yes, this is – not that women in their 20s can't be that assertive, but I do think that there's something about entering your 30s and being single and being like, I don't have time for this bullshit anymore. This is who I am. This is what I want. You can take it or leave it. And I just loved that we got to see someone on this show, which is not doesn't have the best track record of allowing women to assert their needs.
And older women being pursued by younger men is something that the show is typically set up to not really have, because The Bachelor is often older than all of the women that he's dating. And the bachelorette is often younger than probably most of the men that she's dating. And especially, like, the younger she is, the older the bachelor is. It's not set up to have, like, Rachel, when Rachel was interested in Dean for a while, that was, like, such an unusual thing. But it's, like, 50% of the couples on this show are, like, a younger guy and an older woman. And I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
and
maybe I agree.
The show, as in general, could learn something about how modern relationships can be conducted. Speaking of which, we do have to talk about Claire.
Yes. So Claire is being pursued by two men who are – is Christian younger than her, too?
He's
33. I think he is, yeah. Two men who are younger than her. And
– Benoit and Christian.
Unfortunately, Claire ends up in one of these miserable love triangles and then is being punished on Twitter by – Bachelor Nation, which
is she really?
Really pissed me off, and I don't get it.
I don't think people like Claire. I think that people came in with, like, a really negative feeling toward her.
I'm surprised. I thought she was, like, a fan favorite. You know, I have no.
I think that she's a fan favorite in the way that people are like, isn't it funny the time she talked to a raccoon, and not in the Ashley I way of, like, all we want is for her to be happy regardless of what else happens.
Okay.
I don't think that people think of her as, like, a possible romantic, especially, like, you know, she, like, sort of retired last time. There's a little sense of, like, why are you still doing this?
I've retired from the Bachelor
world.
Yeah,
I mean,
thing.
But that's why in her intro package, she was like, I said I retired, but this show didn't exist yet.
Yeah.
And, like, honestly, fair. This was, what, only a couple weeks out of your life?
Yeah.
It's a totally different feel.
For me, I was between jobs, really. The timing just worked out perfectly.
How long were you filming?
It was a total of 14 days, two weeks.
What?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. It's short.
It felt like 4 months. I mean, it was, you know, it's amazing. Like, that at one point, it was like three or four days after the parade, and I was like, I like turned to one of the guys and I was just like, do you know that the opening ceremony parade was just 4 days ago? And they're like, whoa, it feels like it was
my
like
whole life
2 months
has
ago.
Flashed before my
eyes.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, it's a weird feeling.
Yeah. Okay. So Claire is in this love triangle. Benoit is immediately taken with her.
Yeah. They sort of share a little flirtatious exchange in the kitchen one night. They kiss a little bit.
Yeah. But that was like the most ridiculous game. It was like spin the bottle between two people, essentially.
Okay, so that was
that's sort of how it seemed.
Let's make out. Like, I was sitting at the picnic table, like right there, like that separates the living room from the kitchen. And like those of us were just like turning around, like, oh, this is what they're doing. Like, it was like a high school, like a party in like a high school basement. You know?
That's
like,
great.
It was really funny.
It was cute.
It was entertaining to watch, yeah.
Yeah, and then Benoit like quickly gets attached. Claire, on the other hand, is like, really, Christian is sort of my type. She wants to keep her options open. She's flirting with Christian. Christian, a little standoffish, but is like, I think Claire's the most beautiful woman here.
German accent.
For me. Yes.
Very
my type. But Christian is already like kind of on my radar in a negative way, because one of the first things he said it didn't, like, he's been with like all women of different races and it doesn't matter if a woman is beautiful, he likes it. And I was like, that's like a really weird way of putting what might otherwise seem to be an admirable sentiment.
I can't tell whether he's
just the language barrier.
It's hard for me to parse out what is the language barrier and just what is his shitty view of the world.
I
and I think that's Claire's problem too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, how much do you write? And
that is the ultimate,
like,
pun intended, Trump card to be able to say, like, well, no, that was just the language barrier.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I'm like, even if you translate that, is that like a normal thing to say in German? I don't know. It still seems pretty icky to me.
Well, that's how you test him, right? You say, write down the phrase you want to say in German, and I'm going to put it through I'm going to have someone translate it.
I'll show it to some of my definitely progressive German friends and see what
they
say.
Yeah.
So
tear down that wall.
But then Christian is upset because Claire has been kissing Benoit
and fails to meet him at
and
the
this
jacuzzi.
Is where we come to
dun,
jacuzzi.
Dun, dun.
the jacuzzi is filling up. Christian is waiting downstairs for Claire so that they can go in the jacuzzi together. Claire isn't showing up. Maybe she went to bed. Who knows? He's left wondering.
They cut it as though she and Leslie were in the tub during this whole
thing. So maybe
she
mistook jacuzzi for a hot tub.
Yes.
Because she was in a tub of hot water.
Maybe when an American woman makes a jacuzzi date, it doesn't mean she will actually be there.
More importantly, is this hashtag jacuzzi gate or is this hashtag hot water gate?
Wow.
I like hot water gate. Hot water gate?
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
And Christian cannot fathom that perhaps he could have looked around for Claire and said, do you want to go into the full jacuzzi or find an alternative plan? He's just like, when a woman says she will meet me in a specific room, even if I'm 10 feet away from her, I will not do anything else but stand in that room.
Okay, so let me give you a little background about this. His version of events is actually, even if it's not the jacuzzi, we had plans. And we didn't have to go in the jacuzzi. The jacuzzi was full, as I, at the time, was being the jacuzzi coordinator, as you saw on the show.
So in a way, this is your fault.
This is my fault.
You're like, they showed way too much jacuzzi gate.
You got to make a reservation, okay? If you want to be in the jacuzzi, like, it's like the hot new club in New York City. Like, you need to make a reservation.
You have to talk to the cruise director, Michael G.
Yeah, you need to speak directly to the cruise director. I was busy at the airport picking up the magician. I mean, I have to... You know, I have to give Ben Higgins his turn down service. But anyway, so, you know, he thought, like, look, we said we'd meet to go to the jacuzzi. Even if the jacuzzi's full, Claire should have still met me. We could have just gone and sat by the fireplace and had a drink. Claire was missing. I mean, she went upstairs and was in, you know, it's not a, like, the way the house is set up, it's not a room that as a dude you would feel comfortable just like walking into. I mean, clearly, like,
it's
they're
like
in a
bathroom.
Tub, they're in a bath, but they have like that. They had the girls had this like sprawling locker room mesh, like huge with multiple showers and multiple vanities and multiple like the guys. We had bunk beds, one bathroom, one toilet, one sink, one mirror. And one shower.
How many mirrors does a group of guys need?
Well, like one person could shower and use the bathroom with the mirror, and another guy could be shaving outside at another mirror or something. You know what I'm saying? Like to make.
I know. I'm being heteronormative.
It's not efficient.
I'm just saying it was. But anyway, the point is like that was not a place where Christian could have gone and like found Claire.
Sure,
like
right,
she
okay.
needed to come down and be in the common area for him to.
Here's my thing. I think that Christian had a right to be upset.
Annoyed, yes.
And I think that Claire could have been more understanding of that. But he handled it so
poorly.
Badly that it's like hard to keep sympathizing with him. Like if he like had pulled her aside and been like, we had plans and you blew me off and that was like not cool and
that hurt. Yeah,
maybe even say like I'm not interested because this is a really important thing to me and like you're not on the same page, or maybe be like I need to make sure that you understand that this can't happen, like that it's important to me that you not do that.
Right.
Instead he ignores her, tells some other guys who then tell her, and then keeps doing this thing where he's like, it's okay, you just don't care, it's fine, whatever, it's okay, you're not trying,
also,
whatever.
Poor Claire, we all know that it's okay is like a trigger word for
her say,
because
yeah.
she
it's
was
a
on
word
Juan
for
Pablo.
America
for
now.
America.
She has a type. Yeah.
Juan Pablo. He's the German Juan Pablo. That's why I don't like him.
Oh, yeah.
He just kept saying, it's okay, it's okay. And she's like, it's not okay to me, it's not okay to me.
Yeah, well, because it's very clear that he is upset and he thinks less of her because of it, but he is not interested in having any sort of conversation about it.
Right, and Claire
so he's
is
saying
someone...
okay to end the conversation.
Right.
And he's like, I'm going to maintain my bad opinion of you and my anger about this, but I'm not going to engage with you about it.
And Claire is someone who obviously is really into just talking it out. Like, she's actually a pretty great communicator. Not all the time, but we see some pretty substantial exchanges between her and Christian and also her and Benoit, and I really enjoyed that. So I think you could see her rising frustration with, if you were upset with me, why didn't we just talk about it, and why aren't we having a productive conversation about it now?
Right.
Yeah, and she seemed annoyed, which I think is also fair, that he seemed to be expecting a lot of, like, loyalty from her before he'd really offered her anything in return.
She points
like,
out
he was upset
they had not had a conversation about their feelings.
Yeah, they hadn't kissed. Like, he was upset that she kissed another guy. He was upset that she
whether it was 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 times. How many, you know, the kiss gate's another.
Yeah, I think Benoit was counting it differently than she was. I think he was counting actual individual. But anyway.
Yeah, that was weird.
But so, and this is before Jacuzzi Gate even.
This was the Benoit most heartbreaking part of the two episodes. Poor Benoit. I mean, I don't feel bad for him in the sense that I'm angry at Claire, but it was a heartbreaking moment to see the two of them sat down and talked. He's very into her, and she's like, I want to be into you, but, like, I'm not feeling that way. Yeah. And I thought it was a very mature conversation, and I really respected her for being honest about it. Like, what can she do?
I thought they both handled that conversation really well.
I agree, which is why I found people being angry at her or taking pleasure in her then being screwed over later to be very odd. Like, people can't.
Yeah, that's really weird.
People can't force that kind of thing. And the kindest thing to do in that situation is to have that conversation.
I mean, I love that. I love that Benoit is just so, you know, leaves himself so open and vulnerable and just such a hopeless romantic. And like, all of that is just wonderful. But it, I mean, look, I mean, it's a little unrealistic to just be like, look, you kiss me like you're my girlfriend now. We kissed. You know, I mean, like,
well,
there's a little bit of
to
that.
Me.
And,
he was, like, aware of that, too. He was like, I'm not trying to mark my territory.
I loved that.
He was like, I don't want to be that guy.
No, not in that sense. Not in the sense that you're mine now, you can't talk. Oh, but in the way of, like, you know, I took that, you know, like, when you like someone, when they kiss you, you want to take that to be, like,
it
it's reciprocated.
Right.
Yeah. And, like, and so, you know, I think, poor Benoit. I mean, he was so sweet.
His
and
hopes
I
got ahead of him.
When they showed, it's funny, like, how I'm being whitewashed out of this show, but when Dean was having the conversation with him upstairs before he went and spoke to Claire, I was also there. I showed up a little late.
Michael's actually present at every scene that we've seen so far.
I was CGI'd out of the. They had me wear, I don't know why, I was in a green bodysuit the entire time.
Yeah, he was standing in the corner when, like, Stassi and Luke were making out, just like,
You weren't supposed to tell anybody about that, Claire. Nah, I look weird. But I felt so bad because I was like, oh, my God, Benoit, like, I had no idea you were going through this. Like, it's just everyone has their own things going on and everyone's being dragged away to, you know, interview and to talk to other people and to get drunk and play Cards Against Humanity. And so it's like, I was like, oh, my God, buddy, like, he's such a nice guy. And, like, you almost feel like, oh, gosh, I wish I could have talked him out of leaving. Like, you know, maybe at the time we're like, oh, maybe more women are going to show up and more men are going to show up. Like, you don't know what's going to. You know, you don't know what's going to happen in this world, you know?
Yeah, no, it was really, really touching how, in a way, like, just to see the gender role reversal.
Yes.
We often see this dynamic play out the opposite way. And to see, like, a man be comfortable being in touch with his feelings and admitting to feelings that aren't reciprocated and just being like, this is how I feel. And then a woman, you know, handling that with, like, grace and honesty, it was such a healthy model, I thought, for how this, like, should play out in both directions when this happens.
I completely agree. I thought it was really, really refreshing. And I thought that their ending, that, like, really lovely hug that they shared outside, and you could tell that, like, most of us have been in the position where you meet someone, you're like, I recognize all of the good qualities about you, but something is missing and I wish it wasn't. And you could feel that from her and you could feel the mutual respect between the two of them. And I just loved it.
We've all been through that, right? We've all had someone who is so perfect on paper and they you tell yourself, this is the kind of person I should want. Why don't I? It's almost like you're mad at yourself.
It's very frustrating.
It's very frustrating. It's like, why can't I make myself want this person? This person would be so good for me. This person would long term or, you know, this person would, you know, is everything. And yet, I don't know. I just don't feel it. The chemistry, the spark isn't there, and I have to let this person go, and I'm hurting that person, and et cetera, et cetera. But, yeah, I mean, I think no one in the house blamed Claire for Benoit leaving. No one at all. Like, no one was like, Claire, what did you do? You know, you broke his heart.
Yeah.
Like, everyone was like, Claire, you did the right thing. It's sad to see Benoit go, but if Benoit feels so strongly already that he can't even be there in the house to continue and be a witness to possibly her developing something with Christian or someone else, then you know, I understand that. It's like the feeling of when, you know, someone breaks up with you and breaks your heart. And it's like, look, I may not hate that person, but I don't need to follow them on Instagram anymore and see see them posting pics with the new boyfriend or girlfriend. Exactly. Like, I don't need to torture myself either.
And that's exactly what a lot of people felt Dean should have done, when that's why there were so many issues with how he acted on and after Paradise, is you have to be willing to make a choice, to have that hard conversation, to maybe say, I respect one of you so much, but clearly I'm more drawn to the other person. And he didn't want to make any of those sacrifices. And I think he probably learned a lot from that experience.
He clearly learned a lot. So should we move on to some of the other couples?
Yeah, Luke and Stassi I want to talk about briefly. They both have heart problems, and that is about all we know about them.
Stassi's kind of growing on me.
Big hearts, but heart problems.
Big, but yeah.
Yeah.
This is the most, like, emotion I feel like we've seen from Luke. I'm not quite certain what that intense connection is built on yet, but he's just like, wow, I feel a soul connection with this woman. Yeah. This is more emotional than I ever felt with JoJo. It's like, okay, Luke.
I don't think we've seen enough to understand.
No,
that.
I don't understand it, but I'm here. I can be here for it.
Yeah. Lily and Courtney just started like dating right away.
I feel bad. So I think
we
they
almost
got,
never see them.
I was gonna say, I think they got shafted a little bit because they are the one international couple, and they know the American
fully
audience does not.
But I want to get to know them.
I know. I find them both pretty delightful. So I wish we were seeing more about
them. They're very delightful. And I think you can, it's safe to say you'll see more of them.
That's good.
Okay. Great. They seem to be palling around in LA currently.
Yes. So you'll see
them. Are you flying out to do the show?
I am not. I have like serious work obligations now that I've rejoined the real world.
Yeah.
Like I was saying earlier, I had an offer from a law firm. I was general counsel of a company. I was leaving the company. I had another offer. I didn't accept the offer until I sort of came back from filming the show, and I accepted the offer and started pretty much immediately thereafter.
They won't let you just
to
LA for a week to like, film
to
a
LA,
reunion show.
I mean, right. Yeah. Going to LA to film a reunion show and really what am I going to be there to talk about? I didn't have a romantic thing
all
happen
the stuff
yet.
That you're telling us now.
You're right. You know, I think
all the times that you are in the corner watching while people
connections. No, lurking and obviously, you know, improving U.S. diplomatic relations. But I think I think they want to really focus on the couples because it's sort of a like, look, you know, we continue to make couples, real actual live couples happen, you know, and so here we are. So, you know, I think, you know, if I had something that, you know, formed and broke, you know, or something that was shown, maybe they'd, you know, maybe I'd be more inclined to, you know, head out there.
Doesn't seem worth the time off.
Yeah. What I'm feeling right now is a little bit of like, wow, I'm so jealous that I'm like not having fun with you guys because I love all of you and I miss all of you. And we had such a fun time and we're all on this like.
Where is their New York based press round? I guess they just stuck to LA.
We're just,
this time.
Yeah. And
I really want.
I'm doing it right now with you two.
Yeah.
I know.
We're the New York
I want
Bureau.
Some of these.
Yeah.
I want some of the overseas folks to come through New York.
Yeah. We've met you before, so whatever.
Well, Jordan is here often, so, I mean, I think we could get him in. I could get a bunch of people in.
I'm going to make him go step by step through the coin flipping thing.
Okay. He'll demonstrate it. We're on a group chat. You know, we're on a group chat as well on WhatsApp. And
we'll just let them all know, you know, open doors here.
And it's like, last night I'm hearing, like, what room are you guys in? What room are you in?
Aww.
And I'm, like, watching this, like.
I'm in my room in New York, in my home.
I'm live tweeting with my dog, Roger.
Aww.
I'm like, oh, I miss you guys. And
that's so cute.
Yeah.
That's sad.
It
I do want to say briefly on the coin flipping thing that it was super amazing when everyone was like, Ben, would you ever flip a coin to pick a girl? And he was like, I don't think I would ever flip a coin under any circumstances. I was like, wow. Unintentional, really hard line position there on coin flipping, Ben.
That might come back to bite him in his political.
Allie and Josiah.
Yes, Allie is she's from New Zealand. Right? The one woman from New Zealand.
I love this coupling.
They're really cute. Allie she's got a little more of like an alternative vibe than some of the other. She apparently has a tattoo on her butt.
And she has a tattoo on her arm, too, from what I can
She has,
tell.
Like, the kind of interesting,
Lily,
like, streaks.
Also, Lily's covered in, like, Lily has all these
we're missing out on her sleeves.
Little tattoos that, like, they all, like, weird.
Oh, I love, like, a lot of
weird,
little
funny,
line
little
tattoos.
Quirky. Ooh, see, like, I think
I
something
that.
Says mom on somewhere, and she's like, I just got it to piss off my mom.
Wow.
Like as a
Those
joke.
Kiwi,
very 21-year-old.
Like, yeah, she's, like, they have a lot of personality.
Australians aren't Kiwi, are they? What do you call an Australian?
No, just Aussies.
Aussies.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
But Allie and Lily are both from, are
I
both
thought
Kiwis.
Lily was...
No, she's from New Zealand.
Who's from
No,
Australia?
I know because I have a lot of family in New Zealand.
Courtney
and my
and
cousin,
Tiffany.
I noticed my cousin follows Lily on Instagram. And I was like, this is... Because I guess she's, like, sort of a public figure in New Zealand.
Well, she was on The Bachelor.
Right.
Yeah, so Josiah and Allie kind of initially hit it off with this, like, he's sort of like, I like your curves. Black men in America really like
Also,
curves.
Then you look on Allie's and Instagram,
like,
and you're like,
cool.
She's a very thin woman.
Yeah. Everyone is on this show.
It's just that it's just funny. They're like, wow, what an alternative figure you have.
Seriously.
But she's very beautiful. Josiah's super into her. They make out, like, they're, like, the first make out.
Josiah, I think, was voted off, and they kept him so that they could have his romance with Allie. This is my conspiracy theory, because we saw so many votes going in for Josiah. I don't see how the math works out that he wasn't one of the top vote-getters.
Yeah.
I'm glad he stayed.
I think a lot of women thought he was just being fake and that— inventing this thing with Allie just for the cameras. That was, like, the ongoing issue that the women had. I'm not saying it's true or not. I'm saying that this was the vocalized concern of many of the women is that, you know, when the cameras are rolling, which my point is, of course, the cameras are always rolling. But, yeah, I get the point, which is that he's hamming it up and doing this because he knows that will prolong his time on television.
He is definitely prone to hamming it up.
It's hard to tell.
Like, he was always
that...
jumping in to, like, help her when she wasn't doing well.
I barely interacted with Josiah. I mean,
oh,
I'll
really?
Say this.
You didn't
he was
talk about
either,
the law at all?
We did a little bit. I mean, he's from, you know, was a state prosecutor in South Florida. I was a federal prosecutor in South Florida. And so we did
seems
share
like you would
that,
have a lot to talk
yeah,
about.
Yeah, he was always either sleeping or with Allie. Like, he slept a lot. Like, I mean, during the day, like,
late,
just sleeping.
Man.
I mean, it was, like, impressive how much he could sleep. Or he was with Allie, which is understandable.
I can sleep 14 hours a day.
I didn't really bond with him the way I bonded with many of the other dudes there that I hadn't met. But I liked him. Don't get me wrong. I just, like, so I don't have enough insight into that relationship from his perspective. I actually bonded a lot with Allie. Allie is such a sweetheart. And my God.
She
that,
seems amazing.
Like, she's like,
really, she has like a very casual, goofy charm.
She's like it's like a beautiful Mrs. Doubtfire. Like, she was just like that voice, like that charming voice, not in like a creepy man addressing him as an old woman way. But, like, that voice was just, like, so comforting and, like, so, like, Michael, how are you today?
Aw. Yeah, she
You got a little
really
bit of that
sweet.
when Claire was upset and she was like, it's me, Allie. You know, like,
yeah,
knocking on the door.
Yeah, she seems
like
a real comforting, calming force in the group.
Yeah,
and,
like you, who would not want a hug from Allie, like, when you're not feeling great? You
I
know?
Mean, I would mean, just listen to her talking about her bum bone for just, like, on a loop for hours.
Yeah, that was sad. I hope
she's
that
a sweetheart.
Her bum bone is okay.
Or snogging.
So before we wrap up, I just want to touch a little bit on the role that Ben Higgins is playing in the house, because obviously he's such a fan favorite, but you can also tell that, like, he did not come on this show to try to date anyone.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like he wants to get
date
out
on
there,
TV again.
Mix it up per se. I mean, did you see Ben pursuing any connections?
I think of all the people there, I think my biggest and favorite thing is from the show is my friendship with Ben that I take away from that, and we continue to be to the extent that when later at some point when I leave, you know, Ben does my interview. Ben does my departure interview himself, and we have this
is
conversation.
Is he transitioning into production?
No, I don't think so. I just think we were so close, and we spent a lot of time together, which is not being shown. I think he had a very traumatic, very public breakup. I think that more, you know, that aspect of it being public makes it even harder. The fact that she has very publicly also moved on makes it very difficult as well. I think he was very sensitive to that and sensitive to not wanting to say anything to disparage her. And he was very respectful in that sense. I think he wanted to believe, like many of us do, that we're ready to move on. And then I think being back in that environment, which is where he found that love that didn't work out, is sort of traumatic in a way. You know, it's a reminder of a relationship that failed. It's a reminder of a very painful time. Even just seeing these, you know, producers and cameramen and this environment, how can he not sort of hearken back to his relationship with Lauren and what ended up happening? But, having said that, I think his intentions were true. I think his intentions were pure. I think he came there hoping that he could make it work again. He's found love in that environment before. He's very good at all the things you need to be good at to find love in that environment. And I think if someone were there that really like knocked his socks off, so to speak, I think he would have gone for it.
I didn't mean to question his intentions.
I just think we're not seeing as much
of him as you would think, given how good he is on TV and how beloved he is.
He's the glue. I mean, he's the glue of that group. Like, everyone gravitated towards. I mean, look, Ben Higgins is 9 years younger than I am. And in many ways, I admire him and look up to him in many ways, just because he just sort of has it all together. And that is true. It's not just his persona on television. Like, it is, he's as a human being, like, he's very grounded and just a really, like, genuine person. So, and I think the whole house felt that way. So I think his role in the house is more of like a facilitator. He has so much wisdom from having been the lead in his season, and he was there to talk through issues. So
like coin flipping.
But I'm sure, yeah, like coin flipping and like, yeah, whether or not he would ever flip a coin for anything.
Never.
Weird. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't see his conversations with the women. I know that, look, I think night one, he was, that women were saying he should go home. Women were saying, I don't think Ben is here to actually meet someone. You know, I don't think he's ready, or, you know, and so women were also questioning, you know, his motives. Like, they were saying, like, you know, but I think it also could be women were into him. How could you not be? And he wasn't into them back. And so they're like, oh, you must not be here to find a relationship. You're not you're not giving me the same vibes I'm giving you.
But he does, and we should keep Yuki.
Yeah. And we should be clear, first of all, like, there are two rose ceremonies. We have to discuss this. First rose ceremony, it ends up not being a couple rose ceremony. It is a voting off. So the men are voting off, I think, two women or three women.
Two. And the women are voting off three guys.
Men, I think. I have my notes in here somewhere.
Well, I could tell you who went home.
Oh, is it three? Three women and two men.
Lauren G. And Eric. And Laura from the UK, who is sort of campaigning against Josiah, actually ends up, she goes home. And Jamie, who we barely saw at all, but I remember really disliking him on Rachel's season.
Yeah, he was like the perfect suit, perfect hair guy.
Yeah.
Eric went home as well that night.
I was a little sad that Zoe
goes home.
Oh, and Zoe.
And that she has a really sad goodbye with Yuki.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of crying. That was really
and
sad.
And she seemed just shy and reserved also, and like that worked against her.
And then
who did you vote for, Michael?
this is a very pointed question.
Wow. Are you going to answer?
All right. I will answer, and I'll be very honest. I, at the time, was struggling with this decision because I will tell you, as much as I loved her, I voted for Yuki at the time because... Because I just felt like, oh my God, is this environment good for her? Like in the very beginning, like I wasn't sure. Like, are people laughing at her? Like, instead of laughing with her, are people laughing at her? Number one. Number two, like she was very young, and Lily's also 21, but Lily is an old soul. Like, Lily acts like she's in her 30s, whereas Yuki's 21, but was acting very young, and just seeing her interactions and sort of like she fell asleep at the first rose ceremony. And I was just feeling like, oh my God, I feel like, you know, I'm also very old, but I felt like, oh my God, she's like a child, you know, like I don't know. And the comments that I won't throw people under the bus, but that some dudes were making and trying to get her to say certain phrases and things.
Oh, no.
I was like, it was making me very uncomfortable. And I went to that particular person, and I said, hey, you got it. No more. Like, stop. And so I was feeling like, oh, my God, like, I don't want her to, you know, have a bad experience here, and I'm just not sure that, you know, that she's going to find love with one of the men here.
Right.
You know, I like having her. You know, sure. Like, that's
I
the
mean,
thing.
Look, yeah. You're all put in a pretty crappy position being forced to vote someone off the island.
Like, it's like, you know, it's easy when it's like, okay, well, you know, the basis of your vote is, you know, is this person here to find love? And I think she truly was, her intentions were pure. I just, I'm not sure that logistically, like, it was going to happen for her. And then I started having all these other concerns, seeing how some idiots were treating her. And I was like, oh, my God, this is not good for her. And, like, so I sort of had this protective feeling of, like, for her own good, I'm not sure she should be here. And because I really didn't know who to vote for. But you voted for three people. Every person voted for three people.
That makes more sense.
Okay, that makes like, way
you're
more
one,
sense.
You're one person and then two backups. Your alternates.
So they
everyone
probably
had
some.
So then I had like an order.
So then I imagine they had some flexibility.
I can't imagine that Josiah was not
in the mix.
In that mix.
Actually makes a lot more sense.
And then the second rose ceremony is a more traditional men have the roses. Michael, you gave your rose to Tiffany.
You saved Tiffany.
Who had just been in tears because Kevin, she also had her eye on. We didn't find that out until the rose ceremony. And Kevin said, no, I really want to concentrate on my relationship with Ashley. And you gave her a chance to stay.
They cut. I also held the rose and like addressed the crowd and explained like what I was doing, and they cut all that.
We got a bit of your voiceover.
I got a bit of my voiceover a little bit, but that was when she came to accept. I also said something to her directly, but actually, I stood there and held the rose and said, "Look, this was a difficult decision. I think I want to, you know, give my rose to someone that I know really is here and really wants to find love more than anything. Like, I can just tell her sincerity just like shines right through her. And because I don't have a romantic connection with Tiffany.
It but you just wanted
very
to give
platonic.
Her. Yeah.
I was like, what am I going to do? I don't have a romantic connection with anyone and of all people.
Like,
I think it came through too. And it was a sweet moment.
I knew Ben was giving his rose to Yuki.
A little speech about how she had had more to overcome
and
in the context.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that Christian, I already knew Christian was giving his rose to Claire.
Okay.
We talked
Did you
about
know
this.
She was going to accept it?
That I didn't know was an issue. Claire and I, you saw a bit of this. I was talking to Claire when Christian came over, and you see me like kind of like walking by when Christian comes, and then they sit on that couch. Like Claire
and I was wearing a pink plaid coat. I just want to note that.
Yeah,
good coat.
Very stylish. Claire and I had a number of good conversations as well. Actually, like one on night. These are all cut on night one. Claire and I had a conversation where she starts crying in the middle of our conversation. Like we had some very deep heart to heart.
So you think you would have saved her if Christian
her.
Wasn't going to?
Yeah. I think if Christian had said, I'm not giving it to Claire, I would have given it to Claire.
Yeah. Well, I'm interested to see what will happen in particular with Christian and Claire going forward, because they seemed like in a real bad place at the end of the episode. But then they exchanged the rose and they're both sticking around. So I guess we will see if they move past the hot water gate.
And we will, I think, wrap up this podcast now.
It's going to come to a head. Tuesday night, you'll see what the rose ceremony entails on Tuesday night's episode. It's also something
to look forward
totally
to.
Different.
Okay.
And, well, I hope it will be worth missing the figure skating.
That will force people to make decisions wrap in a, you know.
We've heard the rose ceremony is going to be intense.
It is.
Yeah, so. that has been teased.
Oh, boy.
So I'm into it.
Some fan
I'm
favorites
excited.
Will be there.
Yeah. Excited to see the second half of this journey. And
if you're not watching Start, join us.
Yeah, join us.
Catch up.
There's only two episodes.
So it's 4 hours.
4 hours. Well, it's fine. If you watch it without commercials, it's like a lot shorter.
It's far fewer.
So, Michael, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a delight, as always.
Yes, thank you.
And come back anytime.
I'm excited for your book release and the book party.
Oh, yeah. Guys, I have a book coming out.
We should have mentioned that earlier.
It's called A Girl's Guide to Joining the Resistance. And if you want to pre-order it, that would be fucking cool.
Yeah.
Please pre-order it.
I also would like to join the resistance, even though I am not, in fact, a girl.
And the guide only applies to girls.
Thank you.
Boys and men can read it as well. And yeah.
Yeah. It's full of really great interviews and advice for getting involved politically, which you should all do right now.
Yeah,
maybe consider adopting gun control as an issue.
Political edge of our podcast. You can just dive right in with my book. So thank you for that shout out and thank you for being here with us. And
of course.
We'll have you back soon.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you. I look forward to it.
And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks to our guest, Michael Garofola, and to our producer, Nick Offenberg.
There's so much Bachelor and Bachelor adjacent content going on right now. You definitely don't want to miss any of our coverage. So remember to find Here to Make Friends on Apple Podcasts. You can subscribe. You can give us a rating. We're also on Facebook and Instagram, so you can follow us there. Or you can find the two of us on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
And I'm at Emma Lady Rose. Or, of course, you can always send us an email at heretomakefriends@huffpost.com.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back on Tuesday with a Bachelor recap and more Ari. And then we'll be back again on Friday of next week with the final recap of Winter Games.
Doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie, and fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.